like yesterday. But it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low and the secrets that we share. Mountains that we move. Caught like a wildfire out of control. Till there was nothing left to burn and nothing left to prove. And I remember what she said to me. How she swore that it never would end. I remember how she held me oh so tight. Wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. Against the wind. We were young and strong. We were running against the wind.
Live from the Gateway to the West, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, Dr. Shelley Keir is an expert on Edgar Cayce, his readings, his prophetic statements. We're going to look at some of those. Also chat about parallel universes, evidence of parallel universes. She's written a book on that called Beyond Reality. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back with Dr. Shelley Keir. Shelley, how did you get interested in the life of Edgar Cayce?
I've always read the books, I mean, ever since I can remember. But how I came to write this book was I was out at a conference with Dr. Raymond Moody. He's a good friend of mine. And I met some people from the ARE, and they took my book, Gemstone Journeys, back up to Virginia Beach or whatever. And this friend of mine really liked it. And she said, hey, I need to send you this book about Edgar Cayce and the stones. And so she sent it to me, and it was put out in 1960, and it had like 22 entries in it. And it was just some compilation from 1960. And I had this kind of knowing this, that I should take the book out to Tucson to the Gem and Mineral Show one year, and that I was supposed to start buying the minerals that were in the book. And some of them were very obscure, and I had never worked with them before. And then on the way back across the desert, I kind of have this meditation thing. I just love to drive out there. And I said, man, you know, surely somebody must have updated this particular book since then. And so when I called up there, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to ask you guys about redoing this book. And so she gave me the name of the guy, and I called, and they said that the week before I called, they were in the conference room holding up that little book going, you know what, we have got to find somebody to update this thing. And so when I called, then they knew that, you know, maybe I was supposed to do it. And in the book, I talk about before all this came to pass, I started having, I had a recurring dream that occurred over several months where Edgar Cayce came to me in a dream. And it was really strange. Like I was in this cavern. And there was this man in the cavern, and when he turned around, I went, oh my gosh, look, it's Edgar Cayce. And he says, the Maltese Falcon. And I was like, what? So I woke up the next day, and I'm driving over to the library trying to get a copy of the Maltese Falcon, you know, and figure out what is this about, you know. And so then over the course of about, I guess it was about 3 months, I kept having this dream. So in the book, it's a reference book, but there is this narrative stream that you don't know until the end of the book how the dream ends and what the purpose of it was. So I guess, yeah, like I said before, I think that it was just, I mean, do we believe in destiny or not? I don't know. I feel like I was destined to write this book on some level. And it is such a thrill, and it's been such an honor to even be able to do it, because I think he is by far the greatest psychic who ever lived. I mean, I don't see how we could ever dispute that. He is the world's greatest psychic. They officially, we'd like to say he's the world's most documented psychic, but he's so much more than that. And it's also just about who he was as a person. I mean, it's just a really, really, I feel really grateful and blessed that I was able to do it.
Of the many things that he has talked about, and I mean many that have been intriguing to me, none is more intriguing than what he talks about the coasts of the United States shrinking.
Oh, talk about that for a minute. Neat. Oh, my gosh. it's incredible, you know. And there was one thing that he said. He had a dream, because he did a lot with dream interpretation, and there's a story he told that he had a dream that he was born, that Edgar Cayce had passed away, and he was born about 200 years from now. And he said he lived in Nebraska, but that when he looked out of the window of his house, it was on a shoreline. And he claims that in his future life, that he began telling everyone, well, I'm Edgar Cayce, and these are the things that I used to talk about. And he said that some men came to pick him up in a cigar-like spacecraft. And then you think about that, and you think about, like, when he had that dream was maybe, like, in the 40s or the 30s. And this was kind of really, I mean, you know more about this than I do, but, you know, it's kind of almost predating a lot of the modern ufology. And so it says to me that these spaceships, these cigar-like objects must, you know, exist. Of course, we know they do, but,
sure,
that, you know, it's just another piece of evidence that says, yes, this must exist. And it's so interesting. And then he talks about, yeah, that Florida's going bye-bye or whatever, and there's no more California. And then you start to see right now some of the changes that are going on, obviously, this last year. And it's just really, really, really interesting.
Indeed, it is. Go ahead.
The thing that I'm really interested in right now is the idea of the pole shift that is such a big part of the readings. You know, some people say, well, Edgar Cayce had a prophecy that the poles were going to shift, and he gave the specific date, which I can list up here in a minute if you want me to. And then some people want to say, well, that didn't come to pass. But I don't think that we understand what the term pole shift really means. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm sitting in my living room in one instant and the next instant I'm sitting on top of my head because the thing flipped over. It's more about the magnetic frequencies of the planet. Like when you have a car battery, you know, and your battery is like positive and negative charged, the Earth is positive and negative charged. That doesn't mean it's going to just tip over and we're all going to fall over on our heads. But the truth is that scientists have already proven that the magnetic frequencies of this planet have already shifted. And then we get into this whole thing, I mean, that I'm really most fascinated with that has to do with parallel universes, and that is that Cayce was, like, I think, like 90% correct in a lot of his visions and things, and so it's like the 10%, and the naysayers want to say, well, you know, that didn't happen, and so, you know, this is not valid. But the thing is, if you believe in parallel universes, and if you believe that we are in one reality, but there are infinite numbers of realities, which is what physicists are finally getting, that there could be a universe that Cayce tapped into where these things are occurring, you know, and they are happening simultaneously. And this is one of the problems, or I guess, with intuitive information, and this is something that Cayce was also so much into, is that, you know, you are just as capable of receiving and tapping into the divine consciousness as anyone else is. Like, no one is really more capable than others. And Cayce was always real humble, and he said, everybody can learn to do what I'm doing. Everybody can know, you know, these certain things. And I think that what happens is, like, if somebody receives intuitive information, then they might come back later and say, well, I thought I was going to move to Florida, you know, next month, but it didn't happen. You know, they want to come back and tell you, well, that didn't happen.
Right.
But the thing is, maybe it did happen in another universe, and or this is all about our consciousness and our choices. So is your consciousness, you know, committed to moving to Florida or not? And if it isn't, that one little inkling of change in your thought processes could totally change your reality. And so I don't think it is even valid to say that any of Cayce's predictions were wrong, because so much of his things have come true. And that because as we become more conscious, we know that our thoughts and our feelings are creating reality, that one way to look at prophecy is that the reason why somebody wants to tell you the poles are shifting is not so that you can run around and go Harry Carey and think that, you know, Chicken Little, the sky's falling. It's so that you can get your consciousness prepared so that those things that you do not want will not happen, because you always have choice and you always have power. that if somebody tells you something and you don't like the way it sounds, you're the one in the ballpark, or you're in the driver's seat. I mean, I'm thinking about my baseball game I'm going to tomorrow. Sorry. I'm going to see the Mets. So anyway.
Well, okay. I think he wanted to at least prepare people. I'm not sure there's anything you can do. You know, if he saw an asteroid coming this way, I don't think we could really stop it, even though there are some who say we can blast it away. But I do think, you know, Edgar probably had the feeling, well, maybe you could build a bunker or something and at least survive it. And I think that's what he wanted us to do.
Right. Right. Kind of like a warning.
Yeah. Absolutely. When he talked about the polar shift, when he talked about the continents, when he talked about the shorelines eroding, he hasn't been right in 100%, but he's been pretty darn accurate on a lot. So, you know, even if he misses a few of these and gets the others right, it's a pretty scary future in some cases, isn't it, Shelley?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, because we can think about him under the umbrella of consciousness, but then we can also think that, like, if we were geologists, that, you know, we are living on a planet that is supposedly billions of years old, and we're sitting out here floating around in this cosmos. And so, of course, just because we live here and we decided that we built our house on a hill doesn't mean that just weather patterns and things aren't going to start changing things, because, you know, there's no more dinosaurs. You know, what happened to them? And, you know, I think that certain geological shifts are inevitable at some point. I mean, we know eventually that, you know, hopefully we're going to get a spaceship so we can get out of here, because we know that eventually this planet is going to, I mean, maybe it'll take billions of years, but the planet won't be around forever.
It's going to be a long time before we can leave this planet, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be, well, certainly it's not in any of our lifetimes. Maybe in our future lives.
Maybe we can move on to a parallel universe, which is what you were about.
Yes. Yes, that, yeah, there's case studies in the book Beyond Reality talking about, well, there was one case study that was very interesting about a woman who said she was driving down the road in her minivan or whatever, and the kids are in the car screaming and carrying on, and she looks up, and there's a semi-truck, and it's getting ready to blow them off the road. It's going to kill everybody. And so she said she sees this, and she's going, okay, well, we're dead, you know. And then she says she wakes up kind of in her consciousness 20 minutes later. She's going down the opposite direction on the highway. The kids are still screaming, but yet the truck isn't there anymore. And so what happened to that last 20 minutes? And, you know, we can only speculate that maybe she woke up in her new parallel universe, you know, where she was having a different reality. And then in that universe, she happened to meet me when I was out giving a lecture somewhere, you know. But in that other universe, maybe she really was killed.
So I think we're stepping over each other here. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. I think there are a lot of universes out there. It's just, how do you get to them, Shelley?
I don't know. I think you can get to them in the dream state or in times of meditation. You know, like, just sitting and quieting the mind, sometimes things just occur to you, or you see pictures or have sounds and feelings. I think that's the closest. But how can we, like, consciously create that? That's what I'm still trying to figure out. I don't know.
Of all the things that Casey had his prophetic visions of, which one thing fascinated you the most?
I guess the Atlantis prophecies and visions, because previously, some people would say, you know, that Plato and others talked about a fabulous utopian society, and that that was just a metaphor for, you know, man's greed and the destruction that we can have on society. But Casey was really the first person who ever said, hey, I really believe that this is a civilization that exists, and you will find evidence of that. And when they first saw the Bimini Road, which is that structure down underneath the Caribbean,
which could be
close.
Where the Bermuda Triangle might be there.
Yes. Yes, see, I have a theory about the Bermuda Triangle. Casey's prophecies talked a lot about this, again, about the utopian society, but that man became so greedy that you know, darker energies came in and that the whole place was blown to bits. And a lot of people think that that was done through, like, crystals and things. And maybe the Bermuda Triangle, I think, could have been the epicenter of the destruction of Atlantis. That's my theory. I don't know if Casey ever actually talked about that, but I don't know.
It's possible. You know, it's very possible.
I think, see, this is another one where people say, well, you know, well, they haven't found Atlantis yet. Well, you know what? I think they have. And there's a whole school of thought that we don't find things until we're ready to find them, until our consciousness could be okay with accepting that. And I think, you know, Casey was one of the first people to talk about the pyramids at Giza and the fact that maybe man is actually, you know, 10 million years old or whatever. And really, when you think about it, in the last couple thousand years, in the dawn of Christianity, the foundation of that faith says that we can only be a few thousand years old. And so slowly but surely, our consciousness is allowing us to feel okay with the fact that maybe we really have been around for 10 million years. And I think that as we, more and more of us, open up to those types of thoughts, then consciousness will continue to shift when maybe we can say, well, maybe we've been around a lot longer than that. Like, maybe more like, you know, who knows? Or well, I mean, not millions, but 10,000, 30,000, millions of years old. And that as we start to shift the way we think about that, then these things will be discovered.
Well, you know what's so fascinating, too, about some of his home remedies? A lot of the things that he recommended, which you could help cure with just household products or things you could find at your local drugstore easily, are being turned into, like you mentioned, that one company. But there are a lot of companies now that have basically taken the Casey idea and have turned it into remedies to take care of people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And some of his prophetic designs actually are like included in certain equipment in hospitals and airports and different things like that as well. So yeah, I mean, the motion picture industry has been affected. The aviation, he was the first person who said that people are going to be doing air travel. The remedies that are healing people, the uses of castor oils and all different kinds of things. I mean, that catalog is really interesting. People can get on the Edgar Casey, like edgarcasey.org, and they can get a link there that'll take them, and they can order one of these catalogs and see all of these amazing products that he had.
Yet he continued to do these readings, even to the point where I think it contributed to his death. He was not a well man, and every time he did these things, Shelley, it took a little bit more out of him. I think basically he died because of these trances he was in.
Yeah, that's definitely true. The source, when he went into the trance, the source actually gave a reading to him about him, saying this entity should not ever give more than 2 trance readings a day. But Casey, because of his heart, just said, how can I listen to that when we have thousands of people who are just desperate, who have got to get in to see me? And so he just literally did run himself into the ground.
Well, he was a wonderful man, remarkable human being. There is a fellow who claims that he is the reincarnated version of Edgar Casey. Did you meet David Wilcock at the San Francisco?
Yes, I did.
He looks a little like Casey did at that age.
Yeah, you know? He does.
And he believes, and there's another, an author by the name of Wynn Free, that David is indeed the reincarnated version of Edgar Casey. You never know.
You never know. I don't think that is endorsed by the ARE, but and I don't really know. I thought David was a great person.
No, so I don't know. And you're right about that. ARE does not endorse that.
Yeah, but I think he's really a nice person, and I think his topics are interesting that he talks about. So I don't know. I just you know what? It's all possible.
All right, where do you get this book, the new one, on the Edgar Casey's Guide to Gemstones?
They can go to arebookstore.com,
okay.
Or they can get it on amazon.com, or they can go to my website, galactichealing.org, and then just click on the photo there, and it's going to take you onto the link to the ARE bookstore.
Are these stones in minerals and metals particularly expensive? How much do they cost?
Oh, gosh. I mean, anywhere from $2 to $200. I mean, it just depends.
So you can still help yourself with a $2 stone?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's good. We'll stick with it, Shelley. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to open up the phone lines now because a lot of you are fast-blasting me, so I might as well let you talk with Shelley about some of these things we've been talking about tonight. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com.
Get daily automatic MP3 downloads of tonight's show and every night show with the new Coast to Coast AM podcast. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. Somewhere deep below the earth, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, in a new survey, two-thirds of Americans believe now that some form of alien life exists somewhere in the universe. How about that? The percents just keep going up. The poll, which questioned 1,000 Americans, found that 60% of those surveyed believed extraterrestrial life exists on other planets. Of those who believed, most agreed that they would be excited and hopeful upon learning of the discovery of extraterrestrial life, while 90% of them said Earth should reply to any message from another planet, according to the poll. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Shelley Kerr, our guest, and I'm George Norrie, and let's go right to the phones, because they're lining up right now. Wild card line, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Where are you calling from?
This is Bridget from Niagara Falls, New York.
Hey, Bridget, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bridget.
Go ahead.
Nice to meet you, George.
Thanks, Bridget.
I wanted to, a lot of My friends from Streamlink are listening on the show tonight and wanted me to say hi to you for them also.
Well, okay, great. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask your guest, did Edgar Cayce himself believe in the use of rocks and minerals and metals for himself?
I believe that he did use the carbon steel, but primarily most of the readings were for other people as far as the minerals.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks. He was one of those kind of guys, Shelley, where he recommended a lot of things, but he might not have used them for himself. He wasn't very selfish, was he?
No, he was all about what he was going to do for other people.
Yep, absolutely. First time caller line. Where are you calling from? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Nicholas. I'm calling from Boulder City, Nevada.
Hey, Nicholas, go ahead.
Hi, Shelley. Hi, George. Shelley, the question I had is, my wife has had a long history of things like endometriosis and cyst maker and problems with the menses and her uterus. You know, all the feminine stuff, kind of embarrassing to talk about it. But was there a family of minerals or a family of stones that would be specific for those feminine things?
The best one for those type of issues would be the bloodstone. That it's a very powerful stone that works on issues of the blood, because endometriosis has to do with kind of a state of internal bleeding. The other one that would be good is garnets and rubies, because all of those are dealing with issues that have to do with blood and feminine issues.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Tell me a little bit more about that bloodstone, Shelley. What's it look like?
It's a green stone, and it has red spots in it. And they believe that this was a stone that was under Christ, and so the blood, the red spots represent the blood of Christ. And when you hold this stone on your physical body, you will begin to absorb the red into your physical body. And in the case that I was talking about earlier about the guy with the lung problem, that not only did he absorb the red out of the stone, but he just sucked up everything that was in that stone. And in the Cayce book now, I have a picture of a piece of bloodstone that I used. I was doing a grief recovery workshop in a very profoundly horrible case, which is too much to even mention here, but I was guided to put this bloodstone in my pocket and take it with me on the weekend. The bloodstone was dark green when I started, and it's like yellow now. Because it that really does allow you to use its life force to heal or to, you know.
Does it eventually diminish then and get weak, and you just can't use that particular stone anymore? You got to get a new bloodstone?
Yeah, then what I do is I would get a new one, but I would put the old one outside, like under a plant or a tree. Like we have some bushes in the back of the house, and one of them was a little bit stunted, so sometimes I'll throw the old bloodstones or old pieces of hematite underneath there, and it's kind of like the way fertilizer fertilizes soil. If we want to talk about polarity, like positive and negative poles, if we want to say that this heavier energy, this more dense energy, gets into these stones and it changes their physical nature, but that denser energy is what causes the plants to grow.
Remember when we were kids, they used to have rings called mood rings? They would change color. What were those things? Were they stones? Do you know?
I don't know what they are.
Are there stones?
I'll have to look.
Are there stones that instantly change colors like that? Instantly now.
Instantly, let me think.
Call your mom, the geologist. Get her on the phone.
Let me think. Like I said, in the case that somebody has a profound ailment, like the girl held the piece of serpentine for about 10 minutes and it turned black. And I've seen people put that infinite stone on their back and it absorbs into black. But sometimes it's not that instantaneous.
Hmm.
Not like what you're talking about. Because in the mood stone, those mood rings, I don't know what exactly that's made out of. I'll have to do some research on that. But I know that what it's doing, it's reacting to your body temperature, and then it's causing it to turn colors. But I don't know what that's made out of, actually.
Okay, I'd like to find out. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast AM. Hi there. Ooh, I'm locked. Take it, Danny. Go ahead, Hello? Wildcard Line.
Hello, George?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, George, it's Terry. I'm trucking out here in the Arizona desert.
Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I have a question for your guest, Shelley. I've been collecting geodes for many, many years now, and I'm also a big fan of the Old West, so I do gold panning. And I'm just wondering if geodes might contain any kind of properties that she's aware of.
I think a lot of those have similar properties to meteors, especially out in the desert. I guess, I mean, everyone is different. A lot of them have, like, quartz crystals in them and things, but a lot of those are actually, like, made out of meteor-like material and can tap you into, like, other, you know, our brothers from space and stuff like that.
Okay, because I know I have quite a great collection of geodes, and a lot of them have the smoky quartz. Some have, you know, what's called dog teeth in them. I have some that have a milky texture to them, and just a lot of different, you know, different types of mineral in there. And I was just kind of curious. And then I've noticed also that in the gold panning that I do, I found a rock with gold embedded in it, and that just holding that raw gold like that gives you kind of a charge, I've noticed.
Yeah, gold has a really, really, it's like a kind of masculine energy, and it really amps up your electrical system.
Okay, because I just really noticed that, you know, I've got jewelry made out of gold, but it's not the same feeling you get when you hold that raw gold that you pulled out of a river.
Is it got, like, quartz crystal around it, too?
I do have some gold that has quartz around it, yeah. Wherever there's quartz in a riverbed, you can usually find a little bit of gold.
Yeah, the quartz crystals are like amplifiers. So, like, whatever the property is of the mineral that you're working with, when you add quartz with it, then it's almost like it amplifies it. You know, like how they use quartz crystals in transmitters and different things like that? It's because it is a natural conductor and amplifier of things. So, I'm kind of trying to tune in on your geodes there. I think there must be meteors around where you live, but the geodes that you've got, the ones with the crystals in them, the smoky quartz crystals are really good for grounding, and they can help you with your dreams at night and help you sleep. And then clearer quartz, like the more clear it gets, then the more it's working on, like, crystals are dealing with, like, the energy centers of the chakras, so the clearer they are, then the higher frequency they are, so they're more about opening up the crown and opening yourself up to, like, spiritual awareness and things like that.
Well, that's great. That's really cool.
All right. Thanks for your call. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air with us. Hi there.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, where are you calling from?
From Dallas, Texas.
All right. Fire away.
Right on.
All right. I was just curious. I'm a singer in a band, and I was curious what stone might be good for vocals.
Any of the light blue stones, because part of the reason why stones will work is because many of them are vibrating at the same frequency as colors in the rainbow spectrum. So what a singer needs is their throat chakra to be open. And so raw sapphires are actually vibrating at the exact frequency of the blue ray, or you could use...
cold steel, right? What about that cold steel? Because Casey said it was good for your nasal passages.
In the reading, yeah, I think that's possible. I think that's also to prevent colds. But, I mean, it's that in Dallas, I know, because I live in Dallas also, we always have allergy problems there. So that may be something that you may want to check into, too. Then blue lace agate would be good for you. Sodalite. But I'm really getting for you blue lace agate. It's a banded material. There's a picture of it on my website.
Blue
Ace. Really, really soothing.
I'm sorry, that was Blue Ace Agate?
It's called Blue Lace Agate.
Lace, okay. Okay.
Okay, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Next up, Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, George. Shelley.
Hi, Shelley. Go ahead.
My comment had to do with the vibrations and the frequencies, but... just a real kicker here, Edgar Casey, I think what I also loved about him most was Atlantis. He spoke of a podium or something with a crystal that they used to use for flying craft. Not so much that it did it, but it pointed at things and caused them to fly or whatever. That was real interesting for me. I just want to bring it up real quick. The other thing and this is more a confirmation I wanted to get from you. You were speaking earlier about vibrations and frequencies, and I've always thought of that as molecular or atomic level. And I felt that everything vibrated, oscillated, or you know, rotated that way. In other words, we all have a signature, if you will. A good way to put this, take ourselves as a base, and then if we go left, negative, that to me would be demonic forces appearing dark, feeling negative, and going right, being positive vibration, angelic or ascended vibration. Would you see it fitting that way with the way you've read on Casey?
Yeah, that's a really good question. About the oscillating frequencies, I have actually been thinking a lot about this myself, that there is a lot of polarity in the universe. This gets back to really like what we were talking about earlier about even the poles of the planet, that when we're talking about a pole shift, it's more about like a positive-negative charge on your battery. And I think what you're talking about is the fact that there is oscillating current going through everything. And so is like a lower frequency current that which is causing what we might want to call evil, and then are there higher frequency currents that are causing goodness. And I think that's really possible. And in fact, I was talking to a friend of mine today, and we were getting into all of this stuff, and he was saying, well, maybe that if the pole, let's say the magnetic poles shifted on the Earth, would that change the consciousness so that people who we consider to be like the prisoners or, you know, the people who are committing crimes and stuff, would they then become the enlightened ones and the quote positive people would become negative? You know, would that really change consciousness? I mean, it was just interesting things to think about. So I think that you're onto something with that, and that there probably is something going on there. And the second thing you asked about was the stone that Casey mentioned in regards to Atlantis, which I don't really understand how to pronounce this. Somebody's probably going to correct me. I like to call it the Taui stone. It's mentioned in my book. He said that there was this stone that was used in Atlantis. And this is where this theory comes in. When you hear about the story of Atlantis, that there were crystals that were like almost running this substation, and that when the wrong people got a hold of it, that it was the crystal was intended for good purposes, but in the wrong hands, it was what kind of transpired the ending of the civilization. And that's what I am speculating would have been around the epicenter of the Bermuda Triangle. That's what I think, that is where that happened. And so, yeah, it's very interesting stuff, and the book goes into all of that as well.
Okay,
so
let's
really
go
appreciate
to
that call.
East of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir. Where are you calling from?
This is Dan. I'm calling from Iowa.
Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
I have a kind of a question or a comment about Egypt and the Sphinx and Atlantis, and it has to do with, I read a lot of Edgar Casey in the past, and he made a reading once where he said that one of the chambers under the Sphinx would be discovered. I think it was like the late 90s when he said that this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching TV, like a Discovery Channel show or something like that, and they did this big special on the Sphinx, and they went and explored one chamber, and they found a boat, and they said there's another chamber there, and they're not going to let anybody into it. They're not going to show that. Just let us know it was there. And Edgar Casey had said that that would be part of the secrets of Atlantis, and that people would come and take it and hide it from everybody. And I don't know, am I thinking about this correctly? Is that basically what he said? Is that the truth on the matter as far as...
Well, Edgar Casey said there'd be a Hall of Records at the base of the Sphinx.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been long rumors, people who have believed that the Egyptians already went and did whatever they had to do there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very possible. Shelley, can you add anything else to that? And thanks for your call.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, my understanding is that it's the Hall of Records, which would have released information about Atlantis and about everything else. But yeah, the same thing, maybe there's a cover-up, maybe they don't want us to go in, or maybe they've already cleaned it out. There's another theory, kind of what we were talking about earlier, maybe our consciousness isn't ready to discover it yet. I do believe that it exists and that we will one day find it, and that Casey will be vindicated in that as well.
Okay, very good. Thanks for that call. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Where are you?
This is Stephen from Eugene.
Okay, Stephen.
I called you a few times.
Take it away. Yes, you have.
I have a comment and then a question, and she just was with that other, not the last caller, the one before that was just talking about it. I've been studying consciousness for about 23 years. I'm 39 years old, and I started at like 16. And in 95, I was introduced to Edgar Cayce and followed a lot of his stuff for the last 10 years. And through his teachings and what he has taught, I've seen the Akashic Records twice. And right now I'm in the process of writing a book. And what I'm working on is basically the theory and what I wanted to get the doctor's opinion was that the body is a frequency, and I think that's what you're trying to say is the body is a frequency and material items hold, like, I'm not a scientist, so it's kind of hard to, but I guess in frequencies and they hold particles and frequencies, and then around us are waves, and when the waves and the frequencies go together, it, I think that's what makes us disharmonic. Okay.
Well, you may be right. Tell me a little bit more, Shelley, about the frequencies and how Edgar came about to find them.
Most of his discussion of these frequencies, he called them the vibrations, and they were all done in trance, deep trance, where he was just reminding people that we are all part of our Creator, that we can all communicate with the Creator, and that all of us are made up of vibrations, and that the materials, even the remedies or the minerals or anything that he was recommending to the person, was because the source that was speaking through him was telling the person that this is something that they needed individually for themselves to make bring integrity into their energetic field and heal physical illnesses and things.
Are you talking about like
almost like an intersection, like where two different kinds of waves are bombarding each other? I mean, that's certainly possible.
And what about the energy that's related to it? Isn't there always yin and yang, positive, negative?
I think that everything has yin and yang in it. I mean, even your electrical current running through your house is alternating frequencies, and there's that same kind of energy running through our bodies, running through everything in the known universe.
All right, stay with us. One more final hour to go on Coast to Coast AM.
Just as you find me, always I will be a little bit too free.
Find out more about tonight's guest. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Always I will be a little bit too free with myself. Myself in the summer rain, I lost myself. Now there's no one else in the summer rain.